Hello, welcome to the Pandemic Postural Podcast, your podcast of choice to discuss all matters of the mind, soul, and heart. I'm Alex, your host, and I'm joined by Rob. I'm a photographer, a observer of people, as I like to put it, and an aspiring counselor. Rob is the minister at Andover Baptist Church, as well as being a highly trained ninja. That's correct, isn't it, Rob?
No, Alex, it's not correct. I do not assassinate people.
And I could have sworn you were a ninja. Do you not? Is that not the thing?
That's not the thing. No. I do Taekwondo, which is different from ninjutsu.
Is it? Is it really?
It really is. I believe ninjas are supposed to be able to fly. I can't do that yet. So
yet. Believe in yourself, Rob. Believe in yourself.
Well, okay. I'll do my best. I need to be able to fly and become invisible.
Dude, goals.
Goals, life goals. Hashtag life goals.
Right. Well, every week we try to open up about issues which everyone struggles with. And hopefully with a bit of experience, insight, and definitely some humor from us, we can help you to realize that none of us are alone in any of this. And this week we're talking about joblessness, which during this pandemic has become more of an issue because more and more of us have been affected by it. I would say that's the case, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree, Alex. I think joblessness is a major issue at the moment. I think for a lot of people, it might be the first time in a long time that their job security has been taken away from them. People are just kind of wondering, how will this affect the economy long term? Are more and more people going to be laid off over the next few years? Is my job safe? And for those who've already kind of lost it, it's all of those questions that come out of that process of just trying to figure out, so what's next? How do I find a job in this current situation? What does a job even look like? Who's hiring in the middle of a pandemic? How am I going to pay the mortgage? These are the kind of things that keep people up at night. Unfortunately, the kind of questions where the practical answers aren't that easy. So I hope we can speak at least into how to kind of manage that tension a little bit, how to process what that means for you as an individual, even if we don't have tons of answers in terms of what's next for you. I'm just hoping that you are able to just kind of feel that right now at this time where I suppose, you know, everything just feels like it's been thrown in a big mixing machine, that you're going to come out the other side with a greater understanding of maybe who you are, what you can contribute to society, and that it's not all locked up in your work. But we'll get to all of that a little bit later in the podcast.
I think, Rob, you're right there. I think a lot of what we're going to be talking about, I think in every podcast, is going to tie into that key episode from last week, which is about anxiety. And as we said last week, one of the driving components of anxiety is that sense of not being in control. You're so used to having so many elements of your life under your control. And when that's taken away from you, you start to really experience anxiety in a real and intense way. And for most of us, having any threat put to your job and job security is going to cause a great deal of anxiety. Usually in the past, when things have happened around one's work, one has had a sense of at least starting to think about the next thing to do. Often if you're at work and work's not going that great, you open up a browser window and you start maybe Googling for other jobs, going, well, what else is out there? Because again, it's within your control. There's something you can do about the situation. But during this pandemic, most of us are in situations where we don't have that control. So we can Google, but the jobs aren't necessarily out there. We have two friends up the road from where we live who work for British Airways. And they've been really interesting to talk to because at the start of this, they were very confident. They were very happy. They had heard many reassuring things from British Airways. Then the government introduced the furlough scheme, and that gave them a peace of mind knowing that, hey, they're stuck at home, but it's okay. They're still getting 80% of their salary. It's all fine. And then, of course, BA announced that despite all that, they are going to be making these massive cuts. You know, within the space of, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, our dear friends went from being fairly content with their situation, you know, continuing their hobbies, to suddenly being extremely, extremely anxious. And it was such a sudden and intense experience for them. I can imagine that there are many, many people like that.
I think the airline industry is a really good example because, you know, if you'd asked a couple months ago what job security looks like, it looks like being a pilot, right? Because let's face it, if you're a pilot, you can pretty much move from one airline to another airline pretty easily because there are not that many people with your skill set. It takes a huge amount of time and dedication to be able to become a commercial pilot. And, you know, the aviation industry has been booming in many respects for years. There's been more and more flights, more and more airlines, and that provides competition and can be challenging for individual airlines. But in terms of actual pilots, they're always looking for pilots. And suddenly we find ourselves in this pandemic where global travel is just cut to shreds. And suddenly a whole swathe of people for whom job security was right up there at the top of the list. You know, I have made great career choices. I am set in terms of being able to find a job somewhere in the world. Now nobody's flying. And you know, the airlines are all laying people off. I read an article yesterday. There was, I forget the airline, but somebody basically laid off like 3,000 airline workers on a 3-minute Zoom call yesterday, which is astounding when you think about it. Imagine a 3-minute conversation over a video platform that basically tells you your life has completely changed, and that's all you get. That's it. I think it's a hard time really for a lot of people who have never experienced this level of change so rapidly in their working life before.
Especially because on the one hand, you have very practical things. How do I pay my mortgage? How do I afford my groceries? How do I essentially financially plan for the future? But I think even more so than that, I think a lot of our identity and the way we see ourselves and where we get our self-esteem from comes from our job. It comes from what we do and the status sometimes or the importance or meaningfulness of that job gives us a sense of importance perhaps, or just a sense of self-esteem, knowing that we're good at something and we get satisfaction from that, or knowing for some people perhaps that because they're doing a job that's very important or they think is very important or very cool or whatever, that other people think they're tremendously cool and thus amazing, all that kind of thing. So much of our identity and the way we see ourselves is tied up in that. And so when that work is taken away from you, and not only do you feel powerless about necessarily solving it, but you also feel as though a part of you has been taken away from you. And I can sort of speak personally to the situation in that as a self-employed worker, as a photographer who works for himself, being in lockdown has put me in a very difficult situation. And now luckily I'm not alone in this. There are a lot of freelancers, especially within the world that I work in, of photographers and videographers and people in the live events industry and all kinds of industries that use photographers and videographers. A lot of them are freelancers. A lot of them are self-employed. And so we're all in the same boat. So there have been a lot of shared stories, both of misery, but also of encouragement. And what that's meant is that for the first time, for a lot of us, we've had to look into things that were completely alien to us. Like, for example, making a universal benefit claim, something you've only ever read about in the newspaper or seen on the news. Suddenly, we've all had to look into that because that is the advice from industry professionals in our industry. If you're self-employed and you're a freelancer and you're in a situation where you're just not going to get any more work, you need to apply for universal credit. That kind of thing is difficult for some people because it makes them feel like a failure. It makes them feel like they haven't worked hard enough, which is so obviously unfair because you're in a situation far beyond your control. You have not put yourself in this position. You are not in this situation because you haven't pulled hard enough on those bootstraps. Someone's taken the bootstraps away from you. There's nothing left to pull. They feel that. They feel that sense of failure. They feel that sense of that loss of personal pride in what they're doing. And so it is a very difficult thing to ask for help. And I think that's another sort of aspect to this difficult time for anyone who's in this situation is getting over that sense of personal pride. And feeling as though actually I can ask for help and it's okay. I'm not less than, I haven't failed. It is merely the best and most hopeful thing to do is to say, I need help. Practically for a lot of people, admitting that they need help has been difficult because your job is you are your job. And if it's not working, somehow you failed. And obviously, this is a scenario in which there's nothing you can do about it. And so asking for help is the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. But I know that's been difficult for some people.
I can totally relate to that as well, Alex. I was originally born in Zimbabwe. I just think back to when we left in 2007. You know, I was probably one of the most fortunate kind of people in the country at the time, in the sense that, you know, I was probably in the top 1% of people who were educated, in that I had a degree. You know, most people in Zimbabwe can never afford to have further education. A lot of them don't manage to get all the way through high school because it's really expensive, or it's just not that great, just depending on your circumstances. And so I find myself in a situation where when I left Zimbabwe, we moved to Ireland. I came across to Ireland with almost like a rock solid confidence that I'll be fine because, you know, I've got a degree. I should be able to get a job fairly easily. It's not really a problem. Well, I was for want of a better term, the term that they would use in Ireland, I was a Protestant coming to a Catholic country. And I say Catholic loosely because it was nominally Catholic in the sense that, you know, most Irish folk don't go to church these days. And so I was a Protestant trying to kind of find a job at Protestant churches in a Catholic country, which are almost non-existent. There's very, very few of them. Most people don't even know that there's anything other than the Catholic Church that represents Christianity. And so, you know, I find myself in a situation where my degree in theology was about as, you know, relevant as a pilot feels right now, in the sense that, like, nobody was interested. I had to learn really quickly this simple principle that our faith teaches us again and again, which is that it really is okay to ask for help. And in fact, asking for help is the answer, because there are things that are beyond our control that only God and others can help us with. And I had to learn that my value is not in my own ability to take care of myself. It's not as if God or the people around me love me simply because of what I can do for them. You know, that's the most profound truth of the Christian faith, is that God loves us because of who he is and not because of who we are, and certainly not because of what we do for him. You know, he loves us the way we are, in whatever circumstances we are. And, you know, that sense of identity that comes from that is so needed when you are facing the loss of a job that gave you a whole sense of identity. I found the 4 years that we spent in Ireland very difficult for exactly the same reasons. You know, there was a sense of, have I failed? Have I chosen the wrong path in life? Nobody is even remotely interested in hiring me. I worked 4 jobs in 4 years, was made redundant twice because it was right in the middle of the recession. And it was very demoralizing trying to find out, you know, how do I provide for my family? How do I not be the breadwinner anymore, because I wasn't. You know, my wife was basically supporting us through everything because it was only her salary coming in. And I had odd jobs here and there, which I hadn't done any significant training for. And so it wasn't particularly long before I realized I wasn't very good at them. I'm not a salesperson. I found that out the hard way. I'm really not, because I'm too honest, I guess. I don't like trying to flog something to somebody who doesn't want it. And, you know, for some people, it's fine because they believe so much in the product that they're selling that actually it's fine, because you can, with all integrity, you can say, I really think this will be beneficial to you. But I found it really difficult all the time because, you know, some of the people that I was talking to just didn't need what I was selling them. And I knew that and I could see that, and perhaps they couldn't afford it. And so, you know, my sales record was pretty dismal, which left me feeling like, okay, I'm not very good at this either. And it can be a horrendous time unless we find our value and our kind of our sense of, I suppose, what Maslow would call self-actualization, actually not being in our sense of having achieved what everybody else around us has achieved, or having, you know, got that degree, or having got that high-powered job that we've always wanted to do, but actually in just the fact that, you know, I am growing as a human being. I am learning lessons that can't be learned in the good times. I am finding myself more and more, and discovering that, you know, the important people in my life, and particularly God, loves me just the way I am, even though I haven't got everything sorted. And my family loves me just the way I am. And, you know, that's not going to change just because I'm no longer in a high powered job. And thankfully for me, you know, my circumstances have changed in the last sort of 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, I'm now in a stable job as a minister in a church here in the UK. But I don't ever want to forget those lessons that I learned. And I really hope that, you know, those lessons will be helpful as people learn them through this process as well. You know, this pandemic has undoubtedly affected so many people who just need to know that, you know, they're valuable, they're loved, they are meaningful, they have purpose outside of the work that they do in an office or whatever they do. Being a dad is a great purpose. Being a part of a family is a great purpose. Being somebody that advocates for somebody else is a great purpose. We find meaning and purpose in many things that are outside of paid employment. And I just hope that we can help people at this time to find those sources of meaning and purpose that are outside of the economy, if you like. And you don't have to add money to the equation for something to be meaningful.
I think we live in a world ordinarily where we struggle to accept grace. We are so used to seeing everything as a result of our work. So we work hard, we get something, we work hard, we get our boss's approval, we work hard, maybe people, you know, like us, all that kind of thing. The works thing is so important to us because it results in things like approval and money and all kinds of things, status. So accepting grace, being given something that you didn't work for, is difficult for many people, just ordinarily. But I think as Christians, we understand grace. We understand that God's love, his forgiveness, everything that he brings to the world, to us, is not because of anything we've done. It's not because I've worked my buns off and I've pulled myself up by my bootstraps and all those things. That's not the thing that impresses him. That's not the thing that he cares about. But we know that. And so that is the encouragement that we can give to each other during this very difficult time.
And I think, you know, just having the freedom as well, just to, I suppose, to lean on each other at a time like this is so important. Because one of the things that I am most encouraged by, I guess, is when you see in people in times like this a sudden desire to do what's in the best interests of others. You know, you see this uptake in people giving towards charity. You see people wanting to serve other people and kind of recognizing that we all have a role to play in helping one another. Well, you know, part of that is for the person who needs help to recognize it's actually an opportunity that you are giving somebody else to help you. You are not only being taken care of, but you're helping somebody else to do the right thing, to grow, to actually step outside of their comfort zone, perhaps, and kind of support you. And that's good for them. And, you know, in Christian circles, we talk about the fact that God's will for our lives is not that, you know, everybody is rich. That's just not what the Bible teaches at all about that. And by the way, if you are in a church that teaches that, or you know of preachers who preach that, leave that church. That's certainly not what God is all about. He's not about earthly riches. One thing that we do see in the Bible is a sense of dependence on one another, of interdependence. In the New Testament part of the Bible, we see the church collecting for a group that were severely affected by a famine. You know, it's not their fault, just like you said. There are so many people that go through stages where, you know, they're in abject poverty for reasons that they had no control over. And yet you see the church respond to this and kind of putting a collection together and getting it together for these guys to be able to ensure that they survive. And when people kind of, you know, ask questions about this, they say, well, wouldn't they do it for us one day? You know, isn't it the case that one day we will be in need and we will need somebody's help? That's how life works. Life is about ups and downs. Life is about learning that we are never in control. And, you know, as horrendous as the pandemic is, it reminds us of that eternal truth, that reminder that we are not the masters of our own destiny, as so many like to quote these days. You know, there's that famous quote about being the captain of our lives and destiny or something like that. And I think to myself, it's just so wrong, because sometimes we are not. We are absolutely not the authors of our story. You know, nobody would have written the pandemic into their own story and thought to themselves, I know what I'll do. I'll make sure so it's impossible for me to get a job right now. That would be a really great way to spend the next 6 months of my life. Nobody does that. And so if we're not in control and life is constantly like that, we have to learn to be interdependent. We have to learn to take care of one another and also how to accept that when we are the ones that need to be taken care of. Because God's desire is not that everybody be rich or that anybody be poor, but that there be equality, that people would have enough and that everybody would have enough. And, you know, that's the ideal that we all strive for. It's a far cry from the world in which we live. And it's a far cry in many respects from, I suppose, how many of us want to live, because, you know, lots of us have bought into this idea that you work really, really hard, you should be rewarded for that, and you should get a yacht. And at the end of the day, I'm not criticizing people that are rich. I think that's absolutely fine to be rich, but it's what you do when you are rich that shows the measure of your character. If you have been made rich, it's because God has given you an opportunity to overflow into the lives of others, because there are others who need it. And if you are poor, it's because God is using you to give other people an opportunity to help you out, because it refines their character, it changes them, and it also refines yours to know that you are dependent on other people, because we are all dependent on God.
In fact, it's sometimes hard to see the positives that could come out of a particularly difficult situation like this. But I think you've touched on so many of them there, the things that could actually grow in you or grow in other people during this time. And I think it is so important to remember that you aren't your work. Rob, me, Alex, whoever's listening, who you are is not your work. So when your work is taken away from you, you are not less than, or you are not Rob anymore, and I'm not Alex anymore. And I think that's a really important thing, because we do put our purpose and our sense of purpose, our sense of identity in our work, and our sense of, I think, unfortunately, pride sometimes, which yeah, for C.S. Lewis was the greatest sin. He had no time for pride because of so many other sins that came straight out of it. That's one of the good things that could come out of this for people, is a sense of realizing that they and who they are and their kind of worth and all that has got nothing to do actually with their work. And with that, I think, or I hope, there will be some humility that will come with it as well, with regards to how we see people who have struggled with this pre the pandemic. People who have struggled to find work, or who have, through no fault of their own, had a really tough time of it. I think there's a realization that sometimes the playing field is not level. We don't all start at the same point, and thus those who are wildly, you know, successful have done it just because, you know, they're somehow, whatever, smarter, or they've worked harder, or whatever. They may have far more advantages that we aren't aware of, and those who are struggling and will continue to struggle once this is over are in that situation, not because they don't care, or because those proverbial bootstraps haven't pulled hard enough, but simply because there are disadvantages about their economic status, their mental health, their physical health, all kinds of things we are not aware of, things that, again, are beyond their control. So I hope that we can take that humility with us as well, that when all this is over, when we read of somebody who is applying for universal credit, that we don't secretly go, well, I would never do that.
I hope that when we come out the other side of this pandemic, people are not constantly going on about, you know, oh, all of these people that are on benefits, you know, and this is the problem. This is the problem with our economy, all these people on benefits. I'm thinking to myself, have you ever been on benefits? It's not the luxury that you think it is, folks. You should probably check it out, because it's definitely better to have a job than to not have a job. You can definitely make a lot more money, you know, working at a low-end job than you can on benefits. So, you know, I feel like it's been a tool that's been used so often to just redirect blame on a small group of people who actually aren't costing the economy anywhere near what we're led to believe, so that other people who are basically getting away with all kinds of things, you know, they're not paying significant tax, they're making millions and millions, so that they can just carry on doing that. And it's so degrading to people that are working so hard to try and find a job. And it's just not that simple. If you don't have the advantage of a degree to your name, if you don't have the advantage of job experience in the area that people are looking for jobs right now, it's such a discouraging process. And, you know, people try really hard to get out of that situation where they're on benefits, because it's not a life of luxury. I honestly think to myself, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, because I've been there. You know, I've been on benefits before. And I have to say, you know, I was so incredibly grateful for the help that I got when I was in Ireland in particular. You know, the welfare system, you know, met me like four times in that 4 years while I lost my job. And without that help and support, I would not have made it month to month paying my rent and feeding my family. There's just no way. And I'm so grateful for that. And that's why I don't complain about paying tax now, you know, because, you know, that means I can finally give something back. I don't sit there thinking, oh, I shouldn't have to pay tax. My salary isn't big enough to make tax. Anything that I'm taxed on, I think to myself, well, there are people that are working really hard to try and get a job and they're not being recognized. This is a way of helping them. This is also a way of filling in potholes. And I hate potholes. This is also a way of making sure that we care for our environment a little bit more as well. And we can spend some money on that as a government or whatever. I am contributing to the society in which I'm living. And that's a tremendous privilege that I should not take for granted. One day I might be the one who needs that society to take care of me. Who knows what the future holds? We don't. But one thing we do know is that people matter more than the things that are, you know, the trinkets that we try and collect. People matter more than our bank balance. Our value is not determined by our net worth as people describe it. It's just not. And I hope we can come out of this the other side, just recognizing we matter because of who we are. We matter because we were made by God. We were made with purposes and meaning that go far beyond the economy. And part of that purpose and meaning is finding how we interrelate with one another when somebody is kind of experiencing that hardship.
Thanks, Rob. That was really fantastic. I think you're so right about pretty much everything there. I was just nodding along. If this was, you know, if you could see the video to this podcast, you'd basically just see me nodding going, amen, brother. Amen. Because one of the ways you can help is always just to pay your tax responsibly and properly, because that is how we support, maintain, sustain, grow, educate, protect, nurture this society that we live in. That's how we do it. That's how we pay for it all. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes from that. There's so much to talk about, and I wish we could give proper practical solutions. If nothing else, just for me, I would love them. But what we can do, like Rob said, is to give you that support of knowing that you are more than your job. You matter. You matter to God. You matter to the people in your life. And that it is okay to ask for help. It is okay to say, you know what, I don't know what to do. And to start that conversation with friends and family. It is okay to talk to people who, you know, the government has loads of people who can answer your questions about applying for universal credit, about finding out from your employer about the furlough scheme, about if you're like me, self-employed, about getting a grant from the government if you're self-employed. Something which has come to my attention this past week as well, or the number of people who are joining their unions, people who would never have joined a union before because, who joins the union? They've joined their unions because, again, it is a group of people who will give you professional advice. And at this time, it is a difficult time between employee and employer. And it's one of the best ways of achieving solutions that are the best for everyone. So we want you to know that you do matter and that God definitely loves you, and that as difficult as the situation is, you are far more than your work.
Absolutely. And you know, just to encourage you, really do apply for universal credit, because by doing that you're providing for your family, you're being proactive, they will help you in the process of looking for a job. And so you're doing everything that is required of you, I suppose, by God, in terms of not being lazy and not sort of sitting around and hoping that something will magically happen. There's an honor in that. There is an honor in doing the hard thing, the thing that goes against your pride or whatever. There's a great honor in being able to say, hey, I'm going to do what's best for my family and not what maybe I would have thought I would be doing 6 months ago. I'm going to do that. So, you know, If you need that kind of help, then reach out. There are loads of people at the job center who will be able to help you through that process of applying for universal credit. I just want to say thanks so much for listening today. It's just great to be able to do another Pandemic Pastoral podcast for you, and I hope it's been helpful. Do send us an email at 3p@andoverbaptist.org.uk. And let us know if there's anything that has been helpful or hasn't been helpful, something you haven't heard us discuss, maybe something you've missed. We'd love to be able to hear from you. And also just remember, there are other resources out there to kind of help you. If you're really struggling during this period of time, you don't have to wait a week to listen to our next podcast. And particularly if you're struggling significantly, if you're struggling with mental health, or even if you get to that stage where you're just feeling like, well, is life worth living? You know, you can call people. There are people that are waiting to hear from you. You can call the Samaritans. They run a 24-hour free phone line. Their number is 116123 in the UK, 116123. And you can just have a chat with them and kind of talk that through. And just remember, if there's any danger to you or somebody that you know in terms of their health or well-being, you can also call 999. The emergency services are there to help you at any given period of time. And, you know, if you are struggling with thoughts of suicide or anything like that, they will direct you to paths where you will find help as well. Other than that, I've been Rob Hadfield. He's been Alex Baker. And we really look forward to next week. And remember, right now, you are not alone. You are loved. God bless you.